Today we're building an Amen-style riser in Ableton Live 12 using an automation-first workflow, and this is a really powerful way to make your drum and bass transitions feel alive, gritty, and intentional. The big idea is simple. Don't start by resampling a random effect chain. Start by shaping the movement first. Get the rise, the tension, the tone change, the stereo change, and the rhythmic energy working on the source material while you can still control it cleanly. Then print it to audio and refine it like a real arrangement element. This is especially useful in DNB, because a riser isn't just about volume. A great riser changes character over time. It can get brighter, thinner, wider, dirtier, more unstable, and more urgent as it approaches the drop. If it sounds like a generic white noise sweep, it'll get ignored. But if it sounds like a mutated Amen break being pulled into the drop, now we're talking. So let's start with the source. Load an Amen break on an audio track, and choose a 1-bar or 2-bar section with strong character. You want something with a good kick-snare relationship and some hat or ghost note to tail. If you're working from a classic chopped Amen, try focusing on the upper mid and transient rich material rather than the full range. We're not trying to leave the break intact. We're trying to extract a rising texture that still reads as Amen. For a 174 BPM DNB track, a 2-bar riser is usually tight and punchy. A 4-bar riser gives you more room for tonal movement and a more cinematic build. Choose based on the arrangement. If the drop is coming out of a long breakdown, 4 bars can feel epic. If it needs to hit fast and clean, 2 bars is often the move. Now route that source to a new audio track so you can resample it later. On the source track, keep the processing minimal and practical. Put a Q8 first and cut out the unusable low end, usually somewhere below 120 to 180 Hz depending on the sample. The goal is to keep the build out of the sub lane so it doesn't fight the drop later. After that, add auto filter. Start with a band pass or low pass feel, depending on the texture you want, and keep it pretty restrained at the beginning. Then add a saturator with a small amount of drive, maybe 2 to 5 dB to start. If the source is too wide or messy, use utility to control the stereo width and keep the body focused. At this stage, keep things fairly dry. That's important. We want the automation to define the motion before ambient starts to blur it. Think shape first, atmosphere later. Now comes the main move. Write the automation arc before you print anything. In Ableton Live 12, whether you're drawing an arrangement view or using clip envelopes, automate the key parameters in a deliberate order. Start with filter cutoff. That's usually the most obvious energy driver. Begin around 300 to 800 Hz and open it gradually towards 6 to 12 kHz by the end. You don't have to do it as one perfect smooth rise either. In fact, for a darker, more neural-leaning feel, a stepped or slightly stuttered cutoff movement can feel more aggressive than a clean sweep. Next, automate resonance a little. Don't overdo it. A modest increase can add that vocal, almost screaming quality as the filter opens up. Then bring up the saturator drive slowly, maybe from about 2 dB to 6 or 8 dB by the end. That added grit helps the build feel more urgent without needing to be obviously louder. After that, work in reverb. Keep it subtle early on, and save the bigger bloom for the final third of the riser. The first half should feel controlled and readable. That contrast is what makes the ending feel bigger. If everything is moving all the time, nothing feels special. You can also automate utility width so the riser starts narrower and opens slightly toward the end. That can make the final hit feel bigger by contrast. One advanced trick is to do the opposite of what people expect. Start a little wider and narrow into the peak, then let the drop land in mono or near mono. That contrast can make the drop feel huge. If you want even more movement, add drum bus lightly. Keep it subtle, a little drive, maybe some transients if you want the hits to poke through, but don't use boom heavily here. For this kind of riser, boom usually gets in the way. You want the texture to lift, not thump. You can also try redux for a harsher edge. Put it after the filter and before the reverb, and automate the amount carefully. Just a little bit of bit reduction or downsampling in the final third can make the Amen fragments feel wired and unstable. That's a very useful sound in darker jungle and neuro styles. Another great tool here is autopan. Use it sparingly. A small amount of movement sync to 1/4, 1/8, or dotted 1/8 can give the riser a nervous shimmer without turning it into a wide, washed-out mess. If you want the movement to feel like it wakes up right before the drop, automate the amount so the motion becomes more obvious near the end. Now let's add ambience, but do it last. Put reverb after the motion effects so it feels like a reveal instead of a blanket. In drum and bass, Too much early reverb can kill punch and smear the low mids fast. Use a moderate decay time, maybe around 1.2 to 2.8 seconds, with some pre-delay so the transient still reads. High pass the reverb and keep the low end clean. Then automate the dry slash wet so it stays fairly modest early and opens up more in the final third. If you want a darker, more underground feel, echo can work really well too. Try a synced 1/8 or dotted 1/16, with feedback kept under control until the last beat or so. Then automate a quick burst of feedback and cut it off hard. That sudden little splash of repeats can make the riser feel alive and dangerous. At this point, your automation should feel like a performance. The first half should be under control. The middle should start leaning into tension. And the final third should feel like the system is waking up, overheating, or unraveling right before the drop. That contrast matters a lot. A common advanced mistake is making the build sound finish too soon. Leave yourself room to accelerate. Now it's time to print the result. Resample the whole automated source onto a new audio track. This is the point where the automation becomes a real, playable clip. That matters because once the performance is in audio, you can edit it surgically, reverse it, consolidate it, time stretch it, or rechop it without rebuilding the whole chain. It also saves CPU and turns the transition into an arrangement asset instead of just a live effect chain. After recording, consolidate the clip so the start and end are clean. Then listen to it on its own. You're checking for a clear upward energy path. No low-end clutter. No nasty spike in the 2 to 5 kHz area, and a tail that feels ready to cut into the drop. If the resampled result feels too smooth, that usually means the automation curve was too linear. Go back and make it more contrasty. Keep the first half restrained, then push harder in the last quarter. DNB risers usually work best when the energy curve is not perfectly even. Now treat the printed clip like a sound design element. Use EQ8 again if needed. High pass around 150 to 250 Hz. Clean up any boxy buildup around 300 to 600 Hz and tame harshness if the upper mids get too sharp. A little compression can help glue the printed audio together, especially if the dynamics are jumping around too much. And if the clip still feels too wide or diffuse, narrow the low mids with utility so the drop has more room. For a heavier version, duplicate the resampled track, distort the copy harder, and blend it quietly underneath the clean version. That parallel crunch can add menace without making the main riser lose definition. When you place it in the arrangement, think like a DJ. A classic move is to start the riser 4 bars before the drop. Keep it restrained at first. Let the last bar get brightest and widest, and then cut it hard, reverse it, or leave a tiny gap before the downbeat. That little vacuum before the drop can make the impact hit even harder. And don't stop at one version. Make variations. Build one brighter and more aggressive version. Make one darker and more filtered. Make one with more rhythmic detail and less ambience. In a real arrangement, those different versions help stop the track from feeling copy-pasted. Maybe the first drop gets the more organic amen-based rise, and the second drop gets a more synthetic or corrupted one. That contrast keeps the track moving. A really strong advanced exercise is to build 3 versions from the same source. Make a tight 2-bar club riser, a longer 4-bar hybrid tension riser, and a corrupted version with heavier processing and a more abrupt ending. Then test them in context with a simple DNB drop. Listen at low volume too. If it only feels exciting when it's loud, it may be overprocessed. A good transition should still read clearly when monitored quietly. So to recap, start with the amen source, strip it down to the useful rhythmic and transient content, automate the shape first, print it to audio, then refine the printed result as a finished phrase. That's the automation first workflow, and it's a huge upgrade for DNB transition design. The key is not just making something louder, it's making it evolve. Filter, grit, width, ambience, and timing all need to tell the story. When you get that right, the riser doesn't feel like a generic effect. It feels like part of the record's DNA. All right, let's move on and build one from scratch.